Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Before you're seated, I'll tell you today that if I am preaching, you can keep this title in mind today, More Than a Story. It's more than a story. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. God is good. God is good. There are scriptures tied to every holiday. If we were in December, we would be saying, for unto you a child is born, a son is given. We'd be saying, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. For unto you is born a Savior this day. You know, there's scriptures with it. And along with this holiday, there are things that, scriptures that we focus in on. We want to pull out of them. What is it that happened? What is it that we are celebrating, that we're trying to remember here today? Why am I in church on Easter Sunday? Why am I here today? Why did I get up early and really not so early? We started at 11 o'clock, really not early. But why did I get up and fix up and worry about the way I look and do my best to get there? Why am I in church today? Well, you're here because it was more than a story. We remember what Jesus did for us today. Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah 53 and 5, he would write, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God that he came to provide an answer. With his stripes, we are healed. I'm talking about more than just healing your cold or your flu or your COVID. More than just healing your physical body, but he came to heal your heart. He came to heal your mind. He came to heal your emotions. He came to bring healing in your life. He came and suffered and took those stripes so that you could have an answer in this world. It was more than a story because at that time it was just prophecy, but hundreds of years later they would witness it with their own eyes, the Lamb of God slain on Calvary's hill. In Matthew 9 and 12, Jesus referred to the people and he said, those who are sick need a physician. And he was the great physician. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to recruit the righteous, but he came to seek and save that which was lost. Not just those that were lost, but that which was lost. And the people that had lost hope. They had lost the light. They had lost the idea that, I think maybe they got about like Israel was when they were in bondage in Egypt, that they had been crying out so long for over 400 years that they wondered, will God ever come through? Will it ever happen? But Jesus did come through. It was more than a story. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. God didn't commend his condemnation toward us. He didn't commend his wrath or his disappointment toward us, but he commended his love toward us because love never fails. He knows that love can change things. And so God commended his love to those who were ungodly, to those who were lost in sin. Friend, it's more than a story. He's still doing it today. If you woke up with breath in your body today, it's because the mercy of the Lord is new every morning. If you were able to get up and get dressed and make it to the house of God today, it's simply because He loves you and He wants you to hear what He's got to say. He wants you to understand this is more than just good reading. This is more than just a story, but this was the plan all along from the foundation of the world. And so God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's more than a story. It happened. He died for us. He went to Calvary's Hill. He suffered for us. He was pierced and nailed to the cross for you and I. The old song that they used to sing said, when He was on the cross, that I was on His mind. What a sobering thought that is, that if He could look down through the portals of time and see me at my worst and say, this is why I'm doing it. With every painful breath that He took, He thought, I'm doing it so that young man that's acting like a fool right now will one day have an opportunity to know my mercy and to experience my grace and to let my blood wash him whiter than snow. Oh, I'll tell you, He saw you and He saw me and He knew us, but He did it anyway. And when He could have chose a way of escape, He didn't. Friend, in Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Drawn you. You think, well, I just came to church on my own. The loving kindness of God has drawn you time and time again to His house, time and time again to a place where you can hear the saving gospel, the scriptures that Paul would tell Timothy. You've known these scriptures from a child, and they make you wise unto salvation. He's trying to get you to hear what He said. And He said, this love is everlasting. It's the beginning, from the beginning of the world, it's without end. We can't comprehend eternity. That's why it's so hard for us to comprehend the love of God. That's why we beat ourselves up and act like we're not worthy of His love. It ain't about being worthy. He loves you anyway. He didn't say you were worthy of my love. He just said, I love you. But His love is everlasting. It's eternal. And I can't even begin to fathom eternity. Time that's already been that I can't even think about what happened. And time that's coming that I'll have no idea what it'll be like. And there's no measuring it. It's just eternity. It will just be. And we think, that's His love. It will just be. You can't measure it, but it'll be there. You can't look back to a place and find where Jesus didn't love you because it goes all the way back. You can't say there'll be a time in the future where He won't love me because it goes all the way farther than you can imagine. Friend, He loves you. It is a love without end. We have always been known. We have always been loved. And His love has no equal. In John 15 and 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love. It's matchless. It can't be compared to anything else. There's no love story, love song, love poem ever written that could compare to what Jesus did on Calvary, what He did for you and I, what He did suffering on that cross. Nothing can compare to that. And He did that not because we were good, but because we were not good. He did that not because we were righteous, but because we were unrighteous. Not because we were holy, but because we were unholy. And surely not because we were worthy, because we were more unworthy than anybody. But He said, that's not why I do it. They that are sick need a physician, and I am that physician. It was for us. It was for us. You got to understand that He didn't go to the cross for some kind of wrong deed He did. You know, they thought they were crucifying Him because He was blaspheming God. But He didn't go to the cross and die because He was wrong. He wasn't whipped and beat because He was at fault. He was whipped and beat because you and I were at fault. He was nailed to the cross because you and I were at fault. You and I were the sinners. And that's why he went. Calvary was corrective. He did this for us so he could heal us, so he could fix us, so he could perfect us. There's this great quote that I've read in some of the sermons of A.W. Tozer, and he just makes a great observation about Calvary and the cross. He said this in one of his sermons, "Brethren, that is the glory of the cross. That is the glory of the kind of sacrifice that was for so long in the heart of God. That is the glory of the kind of atonement that allows a repentant sinner to come into peaceful and graceful, gracious fellowship with his God and his Creator. It began in his suffering and it ended in our healing. It began in his wounds and it ended in our purification. It began in his bruises and it ended in our cleansing." What a plan. What a price was paid. What a great salvation. It has no equal. Nothing compares to it. There's been no rescue on planet Earth that was as great as the rescue that God pulled off on Calvary. You hear what I'm saying? They've rescued people that have been stuck on the bottom of the ocean. But friend, that rescue seemed tremendous and great, but there's no greater rescue than what God did at Calvary. They've rescued people from outer space. They've rescued people out of cave-ins and coal mines and pulled people out of wells and all kind of things. Not whales, wells. But all these kind of rescues. And you think, that's crazy. They saved them. But there's nothing more incredible than us who are already stamped. We were standing in line to collect our wages. The scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And we came to a point where we had to decide, am I going to go to the window and collect on this sin? Or am I going to take off right here and take that gift of eternal life? Oh, you better know where we were headed. The scripture says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We better thank God today that the Lamb of God went to that cross and shed his blood, because without it, you and I would be lost. There is no match. It has no equal. It has no equal. But it also has no benefit if there's no resurrection. Hello. His death, his suffering, his pain, his wounds, his stripes, his bleeding do not mean, they will not profit us anything at all if there is no resurrection. And so there are scriptures that we quote today. Resurrection. Jake was in some of this today when I thought, well, he's reading some of the scriptures I was going to read, but that's all right. 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? Then it would be just a story. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only, just in this world where I'm flesh and blood and breathing, if this is the only world, the only life that I have hope in Christ, then I am of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. When he resurrected from the dead, friend, it sealed the deal. It made it valid. It proved everything that he said. It would be the scriptures, maybe the scriptures that we quote. When you think of Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, what do you think about? Because you can get emotional about it. People get emotional over stories. Is it just a story? Is that all it is? Something that we read, something that we hear read to us once a year before we go to collect our eggs in our baskets? We can get emotional. We can read the story. or we can experience it. Because it's more than a story. Yeah. But, you know, I know we can quote the scriptures at John 2 and 19. What did Jesus say in John 2 and 19? Destroy this temple. Talking about his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. They had no idea what he was talking about. What in the world? The Jews thought, man, he's talking about this temple that was in so many years built, and he's going to knock it down, and then he could build it in 3 days. They had no idea what he was talking about, but we know what he was talking about. And we know that after they crucified him and they laid him in that tomb, after 3 days and three nights, friend, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus walked out of that tomb in victory. He walked out of that tomb with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He walked out of that tomb conquering everything. And friend, you can read these scriptures like this, and there's a lot you can preach. Jesus keeps his word. You can trust him. He said he'd come back, and he did. He said he would rise from the dead, and he did it. He did exactly. They did what he said they would do to him, and then he did what he said that he would do. No man takes my life from me. I'll lay it down, and I got the power to pick it up again. Friend, hey, you can trust if there's anything that the resurrection teaches me, that I can trust God. It teaches me that no matter how bad things were, that 3 days later, it's a lot better. Just back up 3 days and think about what Jesus was going through himself. He's sharing his last supper with his disciples, and Judas goes out to betray him. He finds himself in the garden, and he's in agony, and nobody will pray with him. They won't stay awake to pray with him, and he feels all alone and by himself, and he's in great agony, and his prayer, his sweat becomes like great drops of blood, and he knows that his time is coming. And now here they come to arrest him. And even at that, all his disciples run off. They flee and leave him to go by himself. They follow afar off. And after he is betrayed, after he is arrested and abandoned, now he's denied by the one he gave the keys to. And now he's mocked. And now he's beat. And now he's spit on. And now they laugh at him. And now they put a crown of thorns on his head. Now they rip the skin from his body as they begin to whip him. And now they take him out and judge him. And they cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then he's carried up to Calvary's hill. They lay him on that cross. They drive nails through his hands and his feet. And he sits there for hours agonizing for every breath, watching people walk by going, he saved himself, or he saved others. Why can't he save himself? He has to stand there, and the only thing he can say is, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And finally, he says, it is finished, and he takes his last breath. And even then, they come and pierce his side, and they take him down, and they put what's left of that body, wrap it in linen and take what's left of it and put it in a tomb and roll it up, because it's the Sabbath and they can't do anything for him at the Sabbath. But early on the first day of the week, when the women were coming to the tomb, they find the stone is rolled away. In Matthew 28, 5 and 6, it says, the angel began to speak to the women and said, fear not, I know you seek Jesus. I want you to leave this scripture up for a minute, because there's something important right here, which was crucified. You're looking for the mess. You're looking for the mangled body. You're looking for death. You're coming here looking for what the world has done to your Savior. You're looking for the past. That's what, when we go to the cemetery, you know, sometimes we think about the future, because like one day I'll be here, but most of the time we go to remember somebody. We come because, you know, they were coming, no doubt, heartbroken, remembering the miracles, remembering the words, remembering his kindness and the way he acted with people. They were so torn, because how could such a great man like this, how could this have happened? We really believed he was the Savior. We believed it was more than just a story. And when they get there, the stone rolled away. Now there's an angel saying, I know that you seek Jesus. You seek Jesus, which was crucified. But in verse 6, he gives them a revelation. He is not here. Can I tell you, you're not meant to stay in the place where the world wrecked you? You didn't hear that? Let's get that Easter grass out of our ears. Come on. He is not here. This work of the cross, this suffering that he went through was for a reason. And 3 days, 3 days he lay in that cold tomb. 3 days it was dark. And for 3 days, decay was just waiting to take hold and do to him what it had done to every other body in that cemetery. But before decay and rot could take hold of him, here come the light. Here come the new day. Stone's going to roll away. I don't know what it looked like when that happened. I've seen a lot of movies and accounts and things, and you're like, man, if that's the way it was, that's awesome. I don't know what happened. Did the stone just blow off the wall? I don't know what happened. But I do know he came back to life, and he said, you're looking for Christ that was crucified? He's not here. He's not here. He is risen. In other words, he's alive. As he said, I tell you, you could trust Jesus. Come and see the place where he lay. You can see where he used to be, but he ain't there anymore. Oh, if we would put that into practice in our life, that if it was more than a story, if it was more than just a good story that we hear every year, but we would say, I can experience it. I can get emotional. I can weep, or I can experience. And I can have the same experience that Jesus had, because he's not there and I'm not there anymore. I'm not where Jesus found me. I'm not in the grave where I was buried in water in his name. I'm not at the place anymore where he filled me with his spirit, but I moved on. I don't go back to the cemetery. I don't go back and lay down where he resurrected me from. Because it's more than a story. It's an experience. And when people will start to believe that this life with God is more than just about church services and good stories and good messages, but it's about an experience, a life-changing, soul-cleansing, blood-washing, Holy Ghost infilled experience. That Jesus wants control of your life. He's not trying to be a dictator in your life. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you into heavenly places. He wants to make you sit in heavenly places. He wants you to be above only and not beneath. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to succeed. And friend, it's only through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection that this can happen. I don't want to just get emotional and cry over it. I watch those movies around Easter time. I watch The Robe, and I watch The King of Kings, or, man, I can't even watch The Passion anymore. I watched it twice, and I was like, I just can't sit through it. Kills me to think that he went through that. And I'm sure it's not even portrayed as awful as it was. But just to think, for me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and for you, for us, for the world, and he gave his life. Oh, for a good man, they had to think about it. But he said, we weren't even a good man. And he just went to it because he could, because he knew he had to. It was the plan from the foundation of the world. But so when I think about this year, as I begin to think about scriptures, like, okay, you know, you got to have a scripture to start out with. So start thinking. You wonder what scripture came to my mind? Romans 8 and 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. You see what Jesus did. You see what it did when it raised him up. He didn't come out walking all bloody and mangled and falling apart out of that tomb. When they saw him, he looked so good they didn't recognize him. He walked down the road with a couple of them. They had no idea. Something about what he's saying sets my heart on fire, but they didn't recognize who he was. The Holy Ghost will change your life in a way that people won't even recognize you. Are you that same? No, I'm not. Come see the place where he lay. I have risen. I'm new. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been resurrected. I ain't the same as I used to be. And honey, that Holy Ghost, it's more than icing on the cake. It's more than just a little sprinkling to make you feel good. But the Holy Ghost, friend, let me tell you, it'll change everything. It's the newness of life. He said, if that spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. In other words, if it occupies, if it resides, inhabits, remains, if it is housed in you, if it's there, woo, then he that raised Christ from the dead, this spirit will also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. In other words, when you've got the Spirit of God in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God lives in us, we can walk in the Spirit. We can live in the Spirit. We don't have to just, we're not just always talking in the Spirit, but we're living in the Spirit. Friend, it's more than a story. It's more than just a story. Oh, well, you know, there was about 120 sitting in another room one day, and the Spirit came rushing in, and they all spoke with tongues, had cloven tongues of fire. Pretty good story. That's all right. They ought to make a movie about it or something. I don't know. Oh, no, I've experienced it. It happened. I sought after it. I prayed for it. And one day God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And friend, didn't nobody teach me what to say. But as the Spirit began to move, I began to speak in another tongue. And I realized something's going on inside of me. The old man was going, all the wounds from the world were being closed up. When that Spirit moved in that body of Jesus and it was all ripped to shreds in that tomb, it had to start putting things back together. Oh, where they pierced his side, every organ that was pierced closed up, veins that had begun to shrink up opened up, blood began to flow, heart began to beat, his lungs began to move, he began to breathe. He kept the wounds, the scars in his hand, and he kept the wound in his side. He said, I got to give him a testimony. I got to show him something. But friend, the Spirit healed that body and brought it back to life. Let me tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost does in our life. It doesn't have to just be a story. Oh, it's easy to believe the story and wonder, why can I not get ahead? Why can I not do better? Why do I keep falling? Why does the world keep getting a hold of me? Friend, I'm telling you, if you will experience the Holy Ghost, don't just read about the death and the burial. Death and the burial is awesome. But there had to be a resurrection. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus is not raised and our faith is in vain and you're still in your sin, which means you're going to die. But now the Spirit that raised Jesus up dwells inside of us. That makes me think, I almost titled this today by this question from Paul in Acts 19 and 2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Why would he ask that? Because he says, I want to know that you've done more than just heard a story. Maybe you've heard, you know, one day Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside and he hears a great noise. He says, what's going on? Well, Jesus is coming. He goes flipping out. I heard about this, but I want to experience. Because what I heard was that he's a healer. I heard that he's a healer, and I want to see if it's true. Yeah. Well, you know what, Bartimaeus? You just believe he's a healer, and you'll be all right. You know how many? Jesus went into a place where there's a host of impotent, sick people. One man out of the whole group gets a healing. One. You can be right in the middle of the miraculous and miss it. And you can say, well, I believe Jesus did all that and still never get nothing. I don't want to just have a story to tell. I don't want to just read a story. I don't want to just get emotional about a story. I want to experience it. And I had heard all the stories. When I first got in church, I heard all kinds of people will tell you a story. When you're a new convert, they're going to tell you some stories. Let me tell you about these. Man, you're hearing about signs and wonders and miracles, and you're like, man, is that for real? That really happens? And then you start seeing it happen. And it starts getting a hold of you, and you're like, hey, I don't want to just hear a story. I want to experience it. I want my own story because I've experienced it. And so Paul found, Acts 19, he found some disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There ought to be something happening once you believe. Well, we just get the Spirit once we believe. There ain't no Bible for that. In the book of Acts, they were in a great revival. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, deliverance. You think people didn't believe? Philip said, I got to call some people down here because I've got these people believing. I've baptized them. But they have not received the Holy Ghost yet. And so all these people that were watching signs, wonders, and miracles, things, great things happening, still needed something. They needed an experience. And so here come the disciples, the apostles come down, and they pray for them, and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. They begin to speak with tongues. That's the initial sign. And then it's the fruit of the Spirit. You don't walk around just talking in tongues all the time. But then the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. But Jesus said it would be like rivers of living water flowing out. It would be like a rushing water flowing out. If something would come out of you, it would issue forth from you. That's how you would know that you had received the Holy Ghost and had experienced it. We can experience the resurrection that Jesus had. I know he's the resurrection and the life. I know it. I believe it. But I also believe today that he was very emphatic when he said, you must be born again. In other words, don't just hear about this. It's more than a story. You must experience it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then it sounds like there's something I need to experience. And what better day to talk about it or to preach about it or experience it than the day that we remember his death, burial, and most importantly, his resurrection. All three of them had to happen. But without the resurrection, them first two, they hold no power for us. You can experience it. It doesn't have to just be a story. That's why Peter would preach the gospel in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's the death and that's the burial. When we repent of our sins, we're dying out to a sinful lifestyle. And when we're baptized, when we go down in the water in the name of Jesus, that's where the blood is applied. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. For you are washed, Paul would say, and you are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we've got to have that washing in his name. But then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's resurrection power. That's what we need. We need that resurrection power. Verse 39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It can be more than a story. You can't live vicariously through these people in the Scripture and say that'll be enough. I like to read. I don't read as much as I used to. I don't have time, but I love reading fiction books and things. And man, I would just, whichever character I liked, that character was me from then on in that book. The gunslinger that never gets shot but was faster than everybody, you know. I'm like, I'm mowing them down. But I would read, one of my favorite sets of books, I'd read the Chronicles of Narnia. And, you know, they're supposed to be Christian-based and follow along, have some Christian themes through them. And I would just lay in bed and I'd go, oh, I wish there was a place like Narnia. Well, there is. There's heaven. there's a real place. There's more than a story. But I would just live through those characters, you know. But I can't do that with this. Oh, man, Peter walking on water, man. They're feeding multitude. Just think, oh, that's all it is. It's just a story, and I just wish I was there. When that 120 heard that sound hit that room, prophecy was being fulfilled. The Lord has said, in the last day I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. It was verifying and authenticating the words that Jesus told him, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. It was more than just a good story that Jesus told. It was happening, and they were experiencing it. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, we're not very good witnesses if we stay dead. We're not being very good witnesses of the resurrection if we stay defeated, if we never come out of the grave. The Holy Ghost is the power. And it's the power to get up. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Yeah? Come on. Get up, get. Oh, now, we'll sing it and people just, whoo! Throwing babies and jumping around and having a time. But it's got to be more than a song. And it can be more than just a good song. You can experience that. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He gave a little prequel when he waited 4 days for Lazarus. And he shows up and says, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life, after all. Well, guess what? He still is. And so that's why the Holy Ghost is still being poured out on people, while people are still receiving it, while people are still being filled with the Spirit of God, because it's still available. Praise God. It's not just a story. It just boggles my mind when people go, well, you know, the book of Acts is just a historical book. Well, so is Genesis, Exodus. Anything in this book is historical because it's already happened. But it's just and there's no more miracles, no more laying on of hands, no more. What a miserable. If in this life only we had, we'd be of all men most miserable. But it's still being poured out. It's still being received. And you know how I know? Because I've watched it happen over and over and over again. Since 1993 or 92 when I started coming to church up to now, I have never gone any lengthy period of time without seeing people filled with God's Spirit. I have watched people in camps. I've watched tens and 20s and 30s, hundreds at a time get the Holy Ghost. In different places, nobody coaching them, just praying for them in faith. They just simply want what God's got for them. I just want what the Lord's got for me. Lifting their hands and start to pray and begin to speak in tongues. It's an experience, and it still happens, and it's still happening today. And I thank God that I have just been privileged to ever watch it or see it happen. And I pray until He comes back, I see it happen over and over and over and over again. Paul said this in Philippians 3 and 10. I'm coming to a close if the music wants to come this morning. In Philippians 3 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the power of His resurrection What was that power? Holy Ghost power. The Spirit raised him up and he said, I want to know him. Because the scripture says the Lord's looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants you to know him in power. And I'm telling you this today so you'll know that you can live your life for God. And hey, you're going to suffer. Listen to what Paul said. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There's going to be some suffering. He said, be made conformable unto his death. In other words, conforming to his death, crucifying my flesh. The flesh, the body of Jesus was crucified. And guess what? Jesus died. The Son of God died. God manifest in the flesh died. He bled, he suffered, he hurt, he was in anguish, and he died because that's what the cross was intended to do. It was an instrument of death, and he died. Three men died on that hill that day. Two of them went to the grave and stayed. 3 days later, one of them came out because he was the King of Glory. Because he had already declared it. And when he speaks it, it's settled in heaven. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I think this is where Paul was, or what he was alluding to in Romans chapter 6. And you can stand with me. Hear what I'm saying today. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's suffering. He's talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about being made conformable unto, conforming to that. To his death. I've got to do that. We were baptized into Jesus Christ and we were baptized into his death. And now, therefore, since we've died like that, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. What a promise. You don't have to stay where they expect to find you. They'll come to you expecting to see the same old you. The addict, the depressed, the drunk, the liar, the cheat, the ungodly, the unholy. That's what they come expecting. Say, he's not here anymore. Because I have crucified myself with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Because the power of the Holy Ghost has raised me to walk in the newness of life. I have conformed myself to this gospel. I have not just believed the gospel, but I have obeyed the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if, there's that big, ginormous if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we must be born again, born of water and spirit. We know that the planting is the baptism, the burial in water. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children and all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Also, writing to the church here now, he was writing to the church, reminding them, this is what happened to you. It wasn't just a story, but you experienced it. You didn't just believe, but you obeyed. And it can happen today. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. If If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you can do that today. What better day than Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, this time when we remember why he came? You don't have to just say, well, I believe the gospel. You can obey the gospel today. And find yourself washed. I've got people in here that I've baptized that would tell you, I felt it when I came out of the water. I felt something leave. I left something there. Something didn't come out. I went in one way, I came out another, and not just wet. No, I came out knowing something had happened in my life. And I've had people, as soon as they come out of the water, go, ooh, I can feel it. Dusty, I remember when I baptized your mother. I remember how she did when she came out of that water. I remember some of you young ones, kids in here, young people in here, when I baptized you, Christ, I said, ooh, I felt that. I remember the smile on your face. I remember the way you looked when you came out of that water. There was something different than when you went down. It can happen today. And if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you would like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that can happen today. God's able to do it today. I know it's a holiday, and I know, oh my goodness, this is a holiday. We're just supposed to be getting ready to go eat and do, but we're going to take a moment here this morning, because I want you to know that this gospel is more than a good story. It is the good news, but it's more than just a good story. It's what he gave us to save us so we could experience it. Oh, and it'd be life-changing. I'm telling you, I felt real good when I read the gospel. But I came alive when I obeyed it. You can read it and feel real good. But you can obey it and you'll come to life.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.